Hello, everyone, on this gorgeous August day, August the 7th, 2011. I'm not sure what significance that holds, but I know that around the world, for some people, this day has a unique and special significance. And for all of those to whom this day is special, I send my congratulations. But I most of all congratulate all of you for being here to receive the blessings of Christ. And while we're congratulating, I want to congratulate our new blessing givers who are here to offer the blessing along with me to you for the first time. They've all been practicing all week. This time last week we were in the learning process of the protocol and getting ready for our first blessing, in which the full power of Christ poured through them. And today they're joined with us as a group, all of our blessing givers here, and we do have quite a lot of people on on the line. I'm sure more will come on as we get into the call, because some of our international people don't want to pay the cost of the whole 30 minutes across the seas. But the good news is I have now found a new conference calling service that directly connects with all the VoIP, voice over internet providers for telephone lines, including Skype and the others. So we in the net, I've got to explore and make sure that it works in a solid and sound way, but it looks like within a couple of weeks that we will be able to chisel off the cost of the call to those who have some kind of VoIP service. And that will, of course, allow us to spread further around the world. At some point in time, possibly in a month or two, after I get caught up on some of my other work that I suspended to get ready for the blessing seminar, we're going to look into a video broadcast that is live online and will not require any telephone call at all, other than those who know they want to speak and share. So I'll offer both opportunities. So we have some good things planned for the future. For now, we're enjoying the blessings of what we have and the fact that we can join together and receive the blessings of Christ all together at one very special moment in time. And I was prompted, now that we are past our Blessing Givers Conference, I was prompted to reconnect with a very potent subject that I initiated about 3 or 4 weeks ago, when I asked you to contemplate what would it be like if you had no fear. Just think about what life would be like for you if you had no fear. And a number of people spoke up on the call, but many dozens more emailed me their answer. And every answer, without exception, was something good they would do or some good feeling they would have. There was not, of course, I realize we're in a very dedicated and elevated group of people who do not have to be restrained by fear from doing destructive things. But the fact is, it has already been well demonstrated that capital punishment does not cause people to not commit murder. Imprisonment does not cause, the fear of imprisonment does not cause people to stop robbing 7-Eleven stores if they're in a state of desperation. We know. I don't know why we keep using this modality of fear as if it has some value, because the fact is, it doesn't stop people from doing the acts that are passion turned pathological, or desperation acts to provide for what they think is a solution to survival. And so we have to wonder if in some of this there isn't a bit of an archaic use of fear that is doing us no good. Kind of like in our body, we have an appendix that really causes us more trouble than benefit. There may be some little benefit there that the residual from the past, the long, long ago past when we did not know if a berry we were collecting was poison or not. But as we have progressed in our dietary understanding, it seems to be just a little collection hole for debris that in some people can eventually cause infection and need to be removed. And so it makes me wonder if fear, pardon me, is not a little bit in that category. There's no question about the fact that fear has its survival function. You know, if we are walking in the forest and we come upon a bear, we know a fear is what causes us to be very, very still. And at the same time, we've also learned from the many animal whisperers from Siegfried and Roy with their animal act in Las Vegas years ago. It doesn't exist anymore. And many of the other just amazing animal whisperers who can walk among the lions and swim with the lions and so forth. Of course, what keeps the lions from attacking them is their absence of fear. And so it seems as though the more I look at the subject of fear, is that fear is our own toxic feedback to when that tells us about our disability to deal with a situation when we feel overwhelmed as if there is a situation we cannot deal with. Fear is that toxic feedback that causes us to either run, be still, or fight. And I really believe there is an element of toxicity in it. There's also an element of empowering the mind involved in fear. But let's talk about both of those things. The fact is, if we think about something long enough, the very act of thinking about it causes us to be more frightened. And it's our, in many cases, it's our toxic attitudes that cause us to be more frightened. A classic example of that is the story of Sergeant York, who was the most decorated army man of the First World War. He was an enlisted man, and so he could only progress to being a sergeant, but he was the most decorated sergeant of the war. But his whole career began. He was a mountain boy and very, very opposed to any form of life destruction. And when he received his induction notice, he ran for the hills and then just came back in the night and filed a conscientious objector statement where he absolutely would not go. Well, they didn't let go of him. Because they said, well, if you're a conscientious objector, we can find plenty of office work for you. But you see, it went way far beyond that to him. He didn't want to participate in any aspect of war. And so they were pursuing him, and he was told by local friends that they were going to find him and he would be imprisoned. And so he took a Bible with him back to the hills, and he studied the Bible, I don't know for how many days. He just stayed there and read and read and asked for the will of God. And what he got from being immersed in those questionings was a state of purity, a state of surrender, and a loss of fear, where he went back and actually enlisted. Now, one of the reasons they were so interested in him is he had won all of these crack shooting contests. It's like nobody could shoot like Sergeant York. Actually, there's a movie by this, and it's a very, very inspiring story. But when he came back and enlisted, his motivation was to go into the, he realized there would be lives cost whether he was going or not, and he realized with his skills, he could be an infantryman that saved lives. He could actually be so effective in carrying out orders that he could save lives. We hear similar, look at the story of David and Goliath. When fear was consuming him, all he wanted to do was run. Finally, he prayed, and he prayed, and he gained courage. And the courage actually came from the clarity of heart and the surrender into the situation that brought him into the position of power with the God dwelling within. He knew exactly what to do, and he did it. All of you who've read Love Without End know that in 1989, my home burned to the ground. Thanks to my beloved cat, Gunner, we got like a five-minute warning because he jumped on us, howling, claws in our chest, doing whatever necessary to wake us up. I opened the bedroom door, which I kept closed for other reasons. It was just poor ventilation in the house. I opened and the whole house was ablaze. There was no exit, and we were on the upper story. It was kind of a split level, but it was still the upper story. So now you would if I had to think about that again, I would be petrified. My mind would start telling me about it would bring up every toxic memory that I might have had in my life or might have inherited from my ancestors or our ancestral collective consciousness about the dangers of fire. And I would have thought about it and frozen or done something really reactive and stupid. But I didn't. Once I was in the middle of the situation with no time to think, I just grabbed as many clothes as I could from the closet, put them in the center of the bed, tied a knot around them to create a landing pad, pushed it out the window, and we jumped. Well, about 2 minutes later, the house exploded. We would have been dead had I not had the presence of mind to do that. So that was kind of like David being in front of Goliath, whereas when he thought about it, he was petrified. You see, there's an aspect of fear that is really, really interference, and I spell it F-E-A-R-A-N-C-E, with our consciousness. Because what happens when something comes up that causes a fear is our mind dredges up every possible past event in our life that is so full of toxicity, including things we've heard about, movies we've seen, things other people have gone through, not even stuff that's happened to us, but also it dredges up little things that resemble this that have happened to us. And then we're in this swamp water that presents us with toxic disability. We go into a kind of pathos and pathological roller coaster. We just don't know how to deal with it. Well, my recommendation is to have the faith and the certainty that when you're actually in the presence of a life-threatening situation or even just a bitter inconvenience, you'll know what to do. You really cannot anticipate that. And dwelling in fear is what's stopping you from progressing with your life to focus on the positive things because you're afraid to move forward. Okay? So, we think about these things, they immobilize us. And fear then has its own energy that can turn back around and attack us. Like, this is what happens to the lion trainers. They're only at danger if they show fear. Only if they show fear. There's this great movie. It's an oldie, but I think it won many Academy Awards. It's a real goldie. It's called Quo Vadis. And it's about the persecution of the early Christians who were thrown to the lions and persecuted in so many, many ways. And it's really a love affair. That's the centerpiece of the story, between a woman who was a devout Christian and a Roman who was, he was one of the persecutors. And it's about how he was slowly converted by the faith of the Christians, and he fell in love with this woman. And he decided to be part of them, even though he was given many, many opportunities by his fellow Romans to betray the faith, step outside the inevitable event. But he wouldn't do it. And as the whole community was rounded up to be given to the lions in the Colosseum, well, the movie actually shows the lions attacking. Of course, this was, we're talking about an oldie, where you can actually see the limitations of technology and tell the lions are really, really not, it just looks really bad, but it's kind of like in a John Wayne movie where they have a fist fight, but you can see that the fist goes past the head. So you're not going to be grossed out or frightened, but still it tells the story convincingly. And how they were singing, the Christians were actually singing in the arena as they were being destroyed. Now, this man and woman were hugging each other and expressing their love so intensely, the lions avoided them, did not kill them, and they survived the incident. And so it says something about, is it possible when we express fear, we are giving a signal to the universe that there is something toxic in our being that needs to be addressed by the criticalness of a situation. I received a letter from one of our blessing givers, our new blessing givers, and I won't mention any names unless she wants to speak up on the call, and I'm going to end off in just a minute or two, so we're going to have a few minutes to share. Where she said that all of her life she had never felt safe. And after being here at the blessing, there was no fear. There simply was no fear. And without the fear, her whole life had prospered. Her whole confidence had elevated. Her whole ability to be all that she was had multiplied. And for the first time in her life, she actually did. It wasn't just a physical safety. It was a spiritual, emotional, whole being safety that I am right with myself. I think part of what happens when we go into fear is that something within us ignites that tells us we are not right with ourselves. And that's the key to why it's so all-consuming. It's so all-consuming. And it's why when I asked that question, all the responses uniformly were positive. If I had no fear, I got all these positive things people would do, because they were centered then in the positiveness of understanding the love that they are. And I think it's why fear doesn't stop people from doing destructive things. It's why people will consign into kamikaze actions. Fear doesn't stop them. Because I believe, I really, truly believe it's part of our personal toxicity that triggers the response from the lions that says, okay, I'll make food out of you. You're one of the ones declaring to me that you're not worthy to live. Now, how does this relate? So I want to carry this just a little bit further. How does this relate to our progress in life toward personal fulfillment and toward walking through this minefield of toxicity in the world? Well, a lot of it has to do with what do you choose to put your attention on? We tend to put our attention on the things we identify with. If we identify with things that are bringing fear, that's exactly what will be multiplied in our life. If we put our attention on those things that are bringing solution, peace, and hope, that's exactly what will be magnified in our life. And sure, there's some horrible things going on in the world. There could be some even more horrible things coming up in the future. But I assure you, because I have been told by the angels, I've been told by Christ, and I've been told by God, there is a golden era in the long distant future of humanity. Whatever is coming up in the near future, there will be those who survive. And those who survive will be those who hold to the positive light of a new dawn. And they're just not shaken by what's happening. They don't buy into all the stories on the news. They don't buy into all the propaganda. And, you know, we tend to think that those who are sort of breaking the stranglehold of conventional news that we think is suppressing horrible impending events. Those who break that stranglehold are the bringers of truth. Well, I'd suggest you think again on that. What's to say that those bringers of horrible events, those exposing it, are not just alternative members of the, shall we say, imprisoning governors of society, imprisoning us further with more fear? Who's to say all of this, this negative revelation that we think, here are the liberators bringing us the truth. Who's to say they are not the prison guards stagnating our life so that we can be controlled? The real bringers of the truth, I have discovered in my life, the real bringers of the truth are those who set you free, those that give you a brighter tomorrow, and those who give you answers. Those who stultify you with more fear, chances are covert operators, patrollers. Don't believe everything you read in the alternative press that is bringing you what seems like I've got to be storing food. I've got to be deeply afraid. I've got to run and hide. I've got to be away from the oceans. I've got to be, who are you sure they're bringing the truth? Chances are, if it doesn't make you feel better, they're not. Now, Yeshua told us that there would be hard times ahead, but he also gave us hope. He also said there will be heaven on earth. And when Yeshua gives his blessing, he gives us light, he gives us truth, he gives us hope, he gives us a sense of survival. And the real meaning of being saved or survival in the ancient original use of that word had nothing to do with are you going to heaven or hell. It had to do with those who actually bring us into alignment with a positive future. Those who save our lives, those who bring us health, those who bring us optimism and joy and new discoveries and new hope are those who bring us into alignment with the light, They bring us into alignment with the love that we are, and they bring us into alignment with all of the opportunities the future may bring. And so it's not fear that brings the answers, my friends. It's not. It's overcoming fear that brings you the answers. We have a few minutes. I guess I got carried away as usual. But we could take 5 minutes if somebody wants to respond or just tell everybody how wonderful you're doing in life after the blessing course and or whatever you want to say. We've got 5 minutes for sharing. So the entry tone is 5-star, and we have someone from area code 828.
Hi, Glenda. This is David from Western North Carolina.
Hi, David.
Hi. That fear question has really got me thinking, is that I would live in the moment, allowing the flow of life to be present. And what I do otherwise is this hypervigilance, trying to control with the mind. And the mind can never deliver what the spirit delivers. The mind is like a dial-up modem compared to having broadband if you put the heart in charge. So to me,
good analogy.
Undoing that pattern has been a life mission. Now, I had a lot of physical stuff happen when I was a kid. I got in an accident. So lately I've been doing physical exercises that kind of get me into that place of looking where the armoring took place and then breathing and seeing what I can do to change that pattern. And, well, I ended up breaking my wrist a month ago, but, you know, that was part of that old armoring was still in place. And
yes.
And so, you know, I'm aware that there are tools out there. I believe it was T.D. Lingo of the Dormant Brain Lab, and then Neil Slade, who worked with him, discovered that the amygdala can either be clicked backwards into the reptile survival brain or it can be clicked forward into the all possibilities and spiritual aspects of life. So, you know, whatever we can do to click forward is, I'm just looking for tools that will help facilitate that.
Well, you know, I think that's a thank you for asking me about that, because I'll send out a letter to all of the people signed up for the blessing call and offer some suggestions on these tools, okay?
Yeah, and you know, your example, a friend loaned me a tape, must have been 5-10 years ago, where you were on a subway or a bus, and because you held that energy, the boys in the hood didn't bother you.
Exactly. I just held the energy of being the love that I was and love them. I don't mean as in I didn't have time to gain the deep friendship that we associate with love, but I was just being love toward them. I wasn't judging them. I was just being there, enjoying the moment with them.
Perfect
example. They were nice. I saw them as nice kids.
Yeah.
I wasn't afraid, and so I didn't trigger anything.
And, well, that's
really
a great example.
I believe that we have outgrown a certain, I know that there's a certain logical place for fear at times in life, but we have truly, as human beings, outgrown our addiction to it as a survival mode. As much as we've outgrown our appendix and certain other survival modes that we needed to have when we lived with, you know, in the wild. And it's time we embraced that reality and understood what the fruits of truth really are.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for that. I'm going to see if anybody else has a comment. And it takes me a minute to scroll. We've got so many people on the call. It takes me a minute to scroll through. We have somebody from area code 512, and you're on.
Hi, this is Julie from Austin.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, I just wanted to report back, and I think this relates to the topic today. A month or so ago, I put forward the request for rain here in Texas.
Yes.
It had not rained for quite some time, and next Monday there were quite a few dark clouds, and Tuesday there were some additional dark clouds, and late Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, we had the first rain we'd had in many, many weeks.
Oh, that's
and
great.
It was just my experience that it was It really is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom.
Oh, indeed. And, you know, I also want it, I want to use that environmental example, whether we're talking about nature or the environment of our human context. Either way, we tend to push away the blessings of life by fearing the consequences of not having it.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Farmers can be out there fearing what will happen to their crops.
Yes, and there's a lot of fear right now as well.
Exactly, and we push away the positive answers with fear.
Right. So I was just hoping to put forth again that anywhere else, of course, in the world, as well as Texas, where rain is needed or other environmental blessings, that if those would like to join me and praying,
okay.
You know, and then also my other thought later on was it was just an awesome analogy for the rain, you know, the rain of the Holy Spirit in our lives as well, and
absolutely.
Allowing for that as well. So I just wanted to put forth that idea and you know, anyone who'd like to join me in consciousness for that of, you know, beautiful soaking rain that's not floods, but, you know, generous and abundant, I would appreciate that.
Oh, we certainly will, and thank you for that sharing. I'm going to have to move on into the blessing now, but I can add one more thing to that, and that is that in my counseling sessions, so often we talk about relationships that are not coming or have not been the way they should be. And I notice that what prolongs the absence of the right relationship is the fear of life without it. There is something actually destructive, destructively extraordinary about what fear can do to push away the very things we want. And so when we receive the blessing, and when this is actually, I want to preface that before I say when we receive the blessing, I want to talk about your prayer. The most, I would say the most likely explanation for why prayers don't work is we pray from our sense of lack. We pray from our sense of hurt. We pray from our sense of fear. Oh, Lord, I am so hurting. Please take away this pain. Or, oh, Lord, I am so afraid. I will not be I'm going to lose my credit. I can't pay rent at the end of the month. I don't know what. Please bring me abundance. So what happens is our prayers go to the holy, unconditional heart of God, who gives us everything we pray for, which is more scarcity and enough abundance to handle it momentarily, because that's really what our prayer was. However, when we pray for the things we want without fear, without reservation, without condition, and most of all, without expectation, because our expectations are the things that most commonly undo our prayer, because we put a particular little twist on that prayer of, I want it to come this way. Well, the reason we may be in scarcity is because it can't come that way. It has to come a different way. And so we pray for abundance in whatever way it can come, and then also pray for the openness of mind and heart to look everywhere for it, knowing that it has already been given. The more we can be in a positive state of being in our prayer, the more our prayers are heard. Now, this is what the blessing helps us to convey. Because the main reason our prayers contain negative elements is because we've engaged in separation. We've separated from the earth, or we've separated from our fellow man, or we've separated from God because God didn't bring us what we wanted, or we've separated from our loved ones because we had fights, or we've separated from our job because it's boring and it we now detest it and we're underpaid, and we're looking for a better one. So we pray from the things we separated from, and so that separation is part of our prayer. Well, the miracle of this blessing is that Yeshua heals all separation, and he brings us into a complete connection through the Holy Spirit with all things of the eternal realm. However you choose to look at God or name God, there are thousands of names of God, and yet only one God. There are thousands of religions that have explanations about what God is, but there's still only one God. And so we honor however you choose to approach the presence of God, knowing that the presence of God will come through the one Spirit, moving through your being and connecting with the earth, because the earth is also an embodiment of our one Creator. And all separations are healed. Now, to expedite that, those of you who are new, remove your shoes and socks and have your feet on the ground. Do not be lying down unless you're sick and it's absolutely necessary. Be sitting in a chair. Now, the reason I say that is because we're going to use the forces of gravity. Because, you see, we're also connected to the cosmos. We're connected to the sun and the central sun of our galaxy and the galaxies beyond the galaxies. And the forces of gravity help to work with the Holy Spirit, moving from the top of your head to the base of your spine. At that point, your legs need to relax so that they can change the downward flow into an upward draw from the earth. At that point, they change in directions. It's almost like the Spirit of God moves down into the earth and then moves back from the earth back up to your heart and creates this seamless connection. I will pray an invocation to Yeshua, and then I would like you to just set all of your mental attention aside. Don't bring your mind into this. Just fall into your heart and pray the prayers of all the positive hopes and dreams and desires, and don't hold back. Dare to hope, dare to dream, dare to ask for exactly what you need, but ask without limitation or without expectation. That amplifies your prayers, and Yeshua will be there conveying this energy to take it to the heart of God. And whatever happens will simply make you more connected, more receptive, more open, and more available to be the bringer of the light, to be the bringer of love, to be the bringer of miracles to your environment. And you will see that you become also the bringer of a great ripple effect in your world, where without even knowing it, others are resonating at a higher frequency, at a higher optimism, and more open to the genuine truth of their life and all of the genuine opportunities and optimism of the world. So, we will now begin the blessing. If you will be just in your position, be in your heart. As I said, I will pray my invocation to Yeshua. Then I and the blessing givers, united, will be conveying the blessing for you. So this will be a very powerful blessing. It's conveyed energetically. It is an energetic expression of love. That's the best way I can say it. It's really how I and the blessing givers convert our energy, the light and the love within us, into a support for Yeshua, grounding his blessings into the human modality and being here for you as an energetic expression of his love and also the love that we are. That the love that you are may resonate, may glow, and may be more in an open and receptive mode for a miracle. Now, don't just come to one blessing. Allow this to accumulate. Come back. It's free, and you can have it as many times as you want and need, and I highly recommend it because it does accumulate in its effects. So let us begin. Now, I will let you know when the 3 minutes is. It's never exactly 3 minutes. It takes as long as it takes. But when I've timed it, it tends to average out about 3 minutes. After that, I want you to go rest. I need to tell you, I almost forgot to tell the new people this. I want you to go rest. Do not think. Just rest and assimilate. because this energy will flow into every cell and molecule of your body, heart, soul, and being. And it will create this field of higher resonance for you. As you rest, don't worry if you fall asleep. That's fine, because you don't need to be awake. If you go into an alpha state, delta, deep sleep, totally fine. Just rest. And you don't have to limit it to 7 minutes, but I would like it to be a minimum of 7 minutes. Okay, let us begin. Dear Yeshua, friend of all mankind, the one who teaches us the meaning of truth and love and light and the unconditional nature of it, the one who removes and erases our fear, that we may be in the brightest state of optimism and hope and fulfillment for all we were created to be. Thank you for being with us this moment and bringing us into our state of unity with heaven and earth, with all our fellow man, without judgment, without reservation, that we may be open and receiving of all the blessings that have already been given, but we did not know how to receive, or we had blocked by our judgment, we had blocked by our separation, or we had blocked by our fears. Thank you for giving us the courage to receive, knowing that in the receiving is the blessing. Amen. The transmission of the blessing energy is complete from me. Other blessing givers, if you're not complete, continue. But I would now ask that all of you go into a reclining pose and just simply receive, rest, and allow your blessing to be all that it can be, all that it is. Goodbye from me for now. God be with you. God bless you. And I hope to see you again next week.